Good afternoon. Today is Friday, August the 17th, 230th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Swan Song. This is 2 and 3 weeks. This is not comfortable for me. Mr. Herskovic is alongside. How you doing, bud?
Hey, pretty good, Brian.
Good. Well, we'll talk about why, where, and what's happened during the time that he's been here.
Oh, okay. That sounds good.
And whatever else you might feel like talking about, too. Well, kick it around with Mr. Herskovic when we come back.
I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Biette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon. KINS News and Information Time is 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Arnie Herskovic. But before we do, our quote of the day comes from Auguste Rodin.
French.
Yeah, I can't remember. To the artist, there's never anything ugly in nature.
Sure.
I know that's a little foo-foo, but you know, since you're going to the foo-foo part of the state,
foo-foo,
you get a little bit of that stuff.
Arts and culture, yes.
Oh, yeah, boy.
Well, Humboldt's art is very good too. We have great artists here.
Yeah, but you're leaving here.
Oh, well, I'll come back.
Sure.
Back and forth.
You're gonna have the apartment here?
No, I don't have an apartment.
Those guys?
No,
I didn't think so.
I didn't think so.
You're not gonna mooch in our house.
So you were our ex-neighbors.
So keep your office down on Wabash for you, just in case. Huh?
Oh, it'll still be there.
The cot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it'll have a cot. We have a new hotel going in across the street from us.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was kind of loaded to talk about. And then Ange said, you know, she got your email last week saying you and Karen were headed to Digs down south.
That's true.
And it's like,
that's true.
Okay.
That's what happens when you sell your house. You have to figure out where you're going. What's next?
Oh, I see. And properly engineered house, I presume.
Oh, sure. Okay. Absolutely. We got to be able to withstand those shakers, you know.
So let everybody know what's going on with the Herskovics.
The Herskovics are relocating to Sonoma County. We're not sure exactly where, but it's looking like it's going to be east of Santa Rosa, about 10 or 15 miles to where the grapes are growing. And we're going to be closer to our families, which are respectively in Sacramento and San Francisco. And just, you know, change of scenery. We've talked about, we love the North Coast. We've been up here almost 4 decades, so it's kind of a tough call. We know a lot of people. We've made a lot of good friends, and it's not easy. I'm finding, I just packed a couple boxes last night, and it's already just, when it hits you.
Starting to tear up.
Yeah, you well up, and you think about all this, the momentous occasion, and you go, wow, this is pretty heavy duty.
Well, hopefully so.
Yeah, but you know, a lot of good things happened during our watch here. I think that's the good news. I mean, we've been able to accomplish some things.
How did you guys find the area?
Well, I tell you what happened. I was in a conference in Newport Beach in 1973, and a couple of Eureka planner types, redevelopment staff, came down there to the conference, and they met me. I worked for the city of San Diego at that time. I was one of two people they interviewed, and they said, we need some people to help us figure out how to fix our Old Town and project area up here. We're going to create a redevelopment agency. We need some people who are good. So they talked to the planning director of the city that was there at San Diego, and he says, I want to talk to your two best people, and one of them has to come with us. So simple as that.
Oh, really?
And so, well, we'd never been up here.
And they gave up your names?
Yeah, they gave up our names. They said, we hate to see this happen, but these are two of our better people, and we want to, you know, one of them might help you out. So send him, you know, fly him up there, show him around, and if he likes it, maybe he'll stay and help you put your redevelopment project together. And that's what happened. We got up here and we started working.
So for folks who are late to the area,
late,
or who may not have been fully functioning in 73 or 74. If you close your eyes now and say, describe Old Town.
Oh, perfect. I can do it easily.
Mid-70s. What does it look like?
Doesn't look good, Brian. A lot of debris, a lot of bottles everywhere, a lot of people who need social services, not finding them, a lot of bars, a lot of buildings that are closed, they don't have any access to them. and a lot of broken windows and a lot of no parks and no open space and no waterfront development, no nothing. I mean, really, it didn't look too good. Most people I talked to when I first came here, when I mentioned I'm going to be working on Old Town, they said, we never go down there. We stay away from there. We go to downtown. We go to Daly's and to Bistrin's and stores like that. But we stay away from Old Town. So it didn't have much cachet at that point.
Just even saying Jimmy Dunn's probably dates us because
That's right.
I mean, there's not a sign out there anymore.
No, Jimmy Dunn's was there.
And functioning.
It opened almost 24 hours a day, practically.
When you look back at that time, mm-hmm. as what you were describing, and we'll start kind of walking through some of the changes. Did they go too far in getting rid of the bars? I mean, you think now the bars that are there, and you've got the shanty, mm-hmm. which has changed certainly its emphasis.
Yeah.
It's not the Giants baseball hangout like it was when Carl was running it.
Dave's Place.
There were a number of the others that were kind of mm-hmm. part of that old historic waterfront. Working waterfront scene. Are there any of those that exist? I'm thinking, and what I sense are some of the foo-foo bars, the newer ones.
The Pearl.
Wine
bars.
It's a different kind of...
Yeah.
You wouldn't see a lumberman or mm-hmm. some guy coming in from the woods feeling comfortable in any of the bars mm-hmm. that are there now, which... I'm almost sensing that we're missing something by not having one of those. Not that it would have to be rough and tumble and throw the guys out, but that would have that ambiance.
Well, you know, the Vance Log Cabin was there at that time, and there were a lot of, as you pointed out, a lot of bars down the Vista Del Mar, and some of those nobody wanted to go near because the fishermen always got into tuffs and tiffs over things, and, you know, they maybe had a few too many after they came off the boat, but who can blame them? They went through rough seas and difficult time earning a living, but that era seems to have gone by the wayside. But you know, it's like everything else. Once you fix up the area you're in, it changes the landscapes. The rents go up. Certain types of activities change, so you have a different mix.
Is there space as you look at it today for one of those types of bars in that district?
Probably. You probably could fit one in. There's some near the waterfront. There are probably going to be more once the waterfront sees some more activity. But you know, they're a lot of those types of bars, the insurance issues hit those bars really hard back in that era. That's my understanding.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
And Olivia.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a 4-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight. Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop. Last time. So this is the memorial. This is the one that's going to be on the website that Karen's going to listen to.
Okay.
For years. Don't screw it up, man.
All right.
With our ears to make. So, Arnie, you come in, and Eureka then establishes its redevelopment agency in the early, mid-70s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you've got challenges in Old Town, some of the old... when I think of that area, of course, I was still yet a young lad in high school.
That's right.
And junior high. But when I think of the area, there still was a lot of the prostitution, a lot of the bars, or unsavories, I guess would be the mm-hmm. simplest way. Sometime in the late 70s, things started to change. And recollection of the change was, and I don't know what the sidewalks were, but they became the blown off.
Exposed aggregate, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why that instead of doing the historic redwood sidewalks that were down there?
I think this was from a maintenance and safety standpoint, this was a better fix. But these were more expensive. They're way more expensive to do the exposed aggregate. But they look great, and they lasted very long time, and they didn't need a lot of maintenance, and that's kind of what the city was going for. But it was part of a design theme. That plan called for certain blocks to have the parking, landscape parking lots, the exposed aggregate, those hitching posts you see, the Victorian lamps, the lights, and that was all part of the theme. And then basically what the thought process was, if we fix up the infrastructure down there, the private sector will probably invest some money in these buildings. If we don't, it's going to get only worse as with the social issues you identified. So the City Hall took a chance, and we were fortunate enough to get a five-year block grant to start fixing up the Old Town area and really doing all those improvements. But as you pointed out, in the late 70s, that's when people started to take those old buildings and start to bring them back. Steve Gordon was one of the first ones with Restoration Hardware and say, look, I want to start a business down here, and this is a great opportunity. I picked up a building and started from scratch, and a number of other buildings.
Because that thing was old and dilapidated.
Oh, yeah, it was very
dilapidated. I remember it before it got
right.
Its current
And fortunate
look.
For him, one of his partners was a contractor, Doug Frink, so they were able to put together a really nice combination of design concept and office space and retail downstairs. And
the building adjacent to it,
mm-hmm.
I still think of it as the Tees building.
Yeah. Upholstery.
Was one of the old original brick ones, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, exactly. It was. Now,
at this time, was that when the URM or the unreinforced masonry stuff started beginning to need to be addressed also?
Yes, that is exactly right. About that time is when the unreinforced masonry issue started to crop up, and then the Seismic Commission of the state started rearing its head up saying, you better make sure your buildings are seismically safe, and all that was just beginning to evolve. And then, of course, ADA came along later. But, these are the issues that building owners had to face early on in terms of renovating their building. It wasn't that easy. The Redevelopment Agency was able to step in and say, look, I know it's going to cost you more than you anticipated. We'll see if we can help you with that. We'll make some low-interest loans, or we'll fix up the sidewalks. We'll we'll do something to help you with your projects.
And that's where the roots of redevelopment started.
Exactly. That's how it started. And a lot of buildings, for example, the St. Vincent de Paul building has a false front facade on it just to make it look Victorian. It's really not Victorian. It's a plain building with a false front Victorian on the top facade. But that worked great because it made it look like it would fit right in there,
belong there,
right. And that's the whole idea, was to make it as kind of as Victorian and in design theme as possible.
Now, you had Bob Imperial.
Oh, yes.
On the corner, that whole
Second
block.
And E, yeah.
Bill Williams. Was that building, did it take advantage of this, or was that building maintained already and it was one of those that didn't need to have
They were definitely a redevelopment participant. Bill Williams basically had a great family jewelry store downstairs and nothing upstairs, just a nice big open space up there, and he said, gee, if I could fix this up into six or eight apartments, I'd love to do that. So that's where redevelopment came in, helped him fix the upstairs up. Then he went ahead and of course did the whole facade of the building again, which looks much better than it did in those days, and put the elevator in. It was a lot of work, but all the owners, as one by one, it was like dominoes. As one saw that their neighbor fixing their building up, they said, gee, that's a good idea. I should do the same. Maybe redevelopment will help me do this. And they went, marched down the street, with block at a time. And next thing you know, several blocks came in. And all of a sudden, it was really starting to tie itself. Then a big switch came, though, when they went over to the Ingomar Club and started to put some improvements on the other end of the street, of Second Street. That was kind of a later aspect of the project. But, it was interesting.
Why 4th Street?
Why 4th Street?
Why was that the end of the funny sidewalks?
That was the demarcation between Old Town and Downtown. I think that's what they delineated. They decided that was considered at that time Downtown. So they stopped right about there. But it was good because we had, we had from 1st to 4th pretty well dialed in. And then, of course, Downtown got some help too when they started to interconnect the two in the general plan in the late 70s between Downtown and Old Town.
KINS, wait a minute. We got an extra minute here.
Here we go.
As you were talking about the Old Town area, I go through what I remember. Imperial had his place, mm-hmm. and you started to see some filling in there.
Oh, yeah.
And then across the street, and I don't know who.
That was Jaramillo across the street. John Jaramillo, yeah.
So you had Fogg's Fish and Chips
for a while.
Was that the first occupant after the remodeled on the corner of Second and E?
It was. It was one of the early ones. Tom Pagano also was one of the early ones.
Now, Pagano was
in Imperial Square, place, right. Yeah. When he was one of the first restaurateurs to actually take a chance of opening a small little place there, which he expanded
Tommaso,
which he's still today, of course, doing commercially. But, that was...
Except for the spinach pies.
Yeah, Bob Imperial was a trailblazer. He came from Fortuna, and he sold some property there and came up, bought the building, and said, I really would like to fix this block up.
So he just rolled the dice?
He rolled the dice, and he did a great job. He and Ivo Fanucchi did a fantastic job of, taking some big chances and, of course, creating a great space, which to this day looks fantastic. It took a lot of effort, but he was in the forefront.
KINS. Now I know we have the break. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The researchers tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Arnie Herskovic. Arnie has announced that he's going to Sonoma County, so this is his last, 10 years here?
At least.
I remember having to chase you down a little bit, and you were a little
I replaced Alice Harris as she retired and moved to Arizona at that time.
Oh, was that?
Yeah, you got me in her slot. Her slot was Friday at that time.
Okay, I remember hunting you down. Were you guys still living at the Edgewood place?
No, we already had moved.
Had you? Okay.
Yeah, we had moved at that point over to toward Freshwater. Yeah.
So we look at redevelopment in Old Town in the 80s, and it's been curious to me, Arnie, and perhaps you can shed some light on it. There were an awful lot of old historical hotels in that district.
That's correct.
The Eureka Inn was up and was the Eureka Inn, as I guess some of us now remember it, instead of what has happened. Why weren't any of the old hotels, the Vance, you mentioned the Metropole a little bit, some of the other historic houses, why weren't they converted over and renovated and took advantage of the redevelopment in Old Town? Was it just because of what had happened to the neighborhood?
Well, some did. The Central Hotel did at the corner of 4th Street. It became senior apartments upstairs. That was renovated with government assistance. And, you know, it's just a matter of what the market would take, I guess.
But right now it would be prime time.
Yeah, but you know, you're absolutely right. In the 80s was when the city council decided that upper floor residential was really going to be a good thing, and we needed to do more of that.
Artists live work space.
Apartments and senior apartments, and they've always wanted more and more of that down there. And there's still room for some more, probably, but parking is a big issue. You got to have parking for those spaces. See, anything else you do in Old Town, commercially or otherwise, you can do without parking. Just go through the parking district. But for residential, you have to have a parking space. So that became a big problem. If you can't provide the parking, then you can't put the apartments in them.
Well, I remember some of the different techniques in trying to put in more condensed and then
compact spaces
with all the small little cars that drives.
And then buying parking stickers from the city to help provide those parking.
In lieu of. Now, weren't those supposed to go to parking lot purchasing and development?
Well, it was, and it did sometimes. In fact, the one next to it did in Coffin.
It did, really. Honestly, it did.
I can give you an example. Right next to the Sea Grill, there was a lot there, and that lot, Bob Imperial owned it.
Jim Howard's place.
Yeah, that lot was bought. The city purchased that with money from in lieu fees and created some additional parking there, and that's always full. Of course, some of the residents upstairs probably take some of those spaces, but that was, you know, one of the examples. And unfortunately, as years went on, there was less and less of that in lieu parking money the city received, and unfortunately they couldn't acquire too many more lots because the price tags went up, and of course the cost of developing parking became kind of prohibitive. There were some people, even as I recall, we're talking about parking structures for old downtown.
Yes, a multi-level.
Right, which also became cost prohibitive.
The Eagle House and the Vance Hotel, two, what I would suggest should be signatures of Old Town.
They are.
Never really made it. I mean, they were historically, but never made it. The Vance had a really interesting personality involved.
Oh, it did.
Yeah, it was Sam Stanson was
involved.
Yeah. Okay, that was. Could redevelopment make available dollars, or could redevelopment require dollars to be spent, or the district to upgrade some of these older, ignored buildings?
In reality, Brian, you hit the nail on the head. The law provided for redevelopment agencies to be able to come in and do the work if the owner wouldn't do it. But unfortunately, when you're dealing with an owner in the Vance Hotel who would threaten to sue you every other day and got your building official down there and always was, you know, giving him nothing but grief, it was very difficult to work with an owner like that. There's an example of that in downtown Willits also, the Van Hotel, which is right in the middle of downtown Willits.
The brick one on the
corner.
Right.
I don't know who the owner is, but apparently he's an out-of-area owner, and he's not willing to work with the city either, and so that sits there empty as well. It's a great opportunity for for the city of Willits to fix that up. But unfortunately, when you have difficult owners, you know, you hate to go to court over it, but that unfortunately, that's almost the only way you're going to get that to be fixed up. So that's one of the reasons why the Vance had to wait a long time for someone to come along and tackle that project. The Eagle House got, you know, various iterations of renovation. They're both historic. They're both prominently located, very, you know, important parts.
But neither really turned into the landmark.
Well, they are.
Which is kind of interesting.
They are and they aren't. They're part of the historic fabric, certainly. And Old Town is a historic district.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to see a parking lot in either location.
Oh, no, no. But, you know, you see, there were buildings next to them, for example, that were torn down for parking lots. Next to the Eagle House was a building that was really in bad shape, and that became a parking lot in the 80s. That was part of the redevelopment. But, you know, if you look at it, I think most of the significant buildings, except for the ones that were burned down, unfortunately, for the fire or other means, were pretty much saved by now at this point.
Now, what about the gazebo? I mean, that's something I think a lot of folks are unfamiliar with, the history of that location. You know, you talk to Merle Harpham and some of the folks that spend a lot of time in Old Town on that corner doing various activities.
Oh, yeah.
They'll tell you about all the bars that were there and how often the cops would be called. But for most of us, that's kind of a thing of question also.
There was a big hole in the ground, Brian, in the 70s when I got here. And basically a lot of, as you say, bars all around it, surrounding it, nothing with redeeming quality. So the architects for the Old Town project area who were in the Bay Area, actually, in San Francisco, and some locals as well who worked on it, decided to come up with some kind of a fountain feature and prominent meeting place that people could identify with. I'll meet you at the gazebo in Old Town, so to speak. And the design they came up with, of course, was a little bit high on the maintenance side, but didn't look too bad. And they put that little, you know, elevated structure there, and that was that. Of course, there were benches and other improvements that came in that had to be removed later for various social problems.
Even the benches are kind of part of the history now of the area because of the neighborhood color.
Well, we have that problem even with bus benches. They were a lot bigger and longer and more roomy years ago, and of course, people wound up sleeping on them, so now they have to be less roomy and shorter with something in the middle of them. So, you know, it's all evolved over time.
But those what happened to those benches? Did they just get destroyed?
I don't know. I mean,
or a landfill somewhere?
Probably. The city maintenance facilities, I don't know if they'd be able to reuse them or not. Probably
not.
That's
right, because Bill Williams' dad's park had those.
Yeah. They still have a little bit of them, features of them.
Yeah, you can kind of almost
you can see the outline of where they were.
What was the big signature event for Old Town to get normalized? Was there one, or was this just a gradual?
I think it was a gradual, cumulative thing. It wasn't just one activity. It was the actual block-by-block renovation, plus the investment that came into that area in that time was pretty significant. It created a lot of, you know, buzz, so to speak, a lot of interest. And some out-of-area investors came along, too, later, not just locals, but primarily local, but then some outside people as well.
KINS, News and Information Times, 343. We'll be back with final segment with Arnie Earsquake.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Higgy, Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 347. Back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Arnie Earsquake. Arnie, a couple quick things. Obviously, we don't have a ton of time here. Redevelopment in Old Town Eureka started in the 70s, continues certainly today. There's been some restructuring. The state's playing their games, re-emphasis here, emphasis there. It's now a lot of those buildings that took advantage in the 70s and 80s now need some additional. Are you sensing that the landowners, the landlords, are going to do that? Or do you see this slide happening in another 15 years? It's back to kind of that same general malaise that it was in the 70s.
I don't think it'll be quite as bad as it was in the 70s, Brian, because of the good work that was done since. But you're absolutely right. You have, on older historic buildings, you have to continue to maintain and keep them in some state of current condition. And that's not easy to do. It can take a lot of resources to keep them going. But I sense the owners who are down there, that I know a lot of them, are committed to these projects. So they'll try to find a way. to make it happen. It's not as easy because they can't turn, as you say, to government sources anymore. It's going to have to be private financing. But hopefully...
Well, the mills are closed, too, so it's, a lot of the wood isn't... It's tough to put pine on top of a redwood building.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, Eric is still running the Blue Ox Mill, and there's some other avenues to get custom pieces in for your built structure. But it's expensive. There's no question about it. No beating around the bush. It's costly.
Are the values of those buildings continuing to hold?
I think they are. My understanding from talking to Dave Tyson is between 1973 and now, there was about $300 million in increased assessed value created in Old Town, just in the Old Town area. If you think about that number alone.
That sounds like a pretty good thing on your resume, huh?
I think so, yeah. I don't know if I need I don't have a resume anymore.
Yeah, I know. At some point, you just forget about that.
Leave that to the next group.
You've got Rob and Sherry Barkley now doing a lot of the investing, kind of almost as an angel rather than on an ROI basis. Do you sense that that's going to continue to be an integral part as the Old Town, Downtown area continues to get its facelift, and is there continue to be additional buildings that need some love? Is that going to be the way that it comes, or will the ROI still pencil out?
Well, it's a tough one to call, but I would say that it's going to be a combination of both. But I think people like Rob and Sherry and others who have a solid investment in the area will see good returns over the long run, and they'll want to continue to to do other projects. And I think that's what I'm seeing and talking to some of the owners down there. They're actually looking for other buildings to continue to do the work they've already started. But the ROI has to be there in some respects, absolutely. But my understanding from the Main Street people, too, is that the rents are holding up rather well in Old Town. They're not going down really that much. So even with the economy we've just experienced the last few years. So that's a good sign.
Thanks for 10 years, man.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Always been fun to talk with you. Always enjoyed it.
Well, don't be a stranger. Be around, huh?
Maybe I'll come back for a guest shot someday.
There you go. We've been talking shop this afternoon with Arnie Herskovic. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.